This week on the Jock and Nerd podcast, we review Doug Liman's version of Roadhouse, plus trailer reactions for the new Star Wars show, The Acolyte, Alien Romulus, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Furiosa, House of the Dragon, and the Penguin TV shows, and more, all in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Monday, March 25th, 2024.
You know who this is, and you know why you're here. You want all the latest comic book and superhero TV and movie news, and by God, you found it. Forget everything else out there. Forget all the Scientology bullshit. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. Worship at the feet of the holy trio of geekdom, the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Play it.
Check. Check one. All right. This is for all you fans out there. Let's give it up.
Hello, what's up, listener? Thank you for pressing play, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we give you comic book and superhero TV and movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
Jock and Nerd!
My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the Jock.
And he's the Nerd.
And joining us, a fella who gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, the double deuce. It's Rock Boy. What's up, Rugs? You dropped one of those off just before we started recording, right?
Actually, I'm going into triple territory. Triple.
Okay, that's
triple you, something.
I think you need to see a doctor, because even a double deuce, I was like, is that even possible? Like, how'd you, if you go, you're done. You can go double.
I'm never done. Oh, I'm going right now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I told you. Move the podcast studio.
I'm wearing a diaper in my
sleeve. One of those recliners with the toilet in the seat. It's great.
But yeah, like in Idiocracy, you just sit on the you sit on a sofa with a toilet built in.
Go away, Baton.
And a beer cozy.
That movie came true. Anthony, how you doing? Yep.
I'm okay.
Okay, good.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching the dog.
Yeah, you took a little trip to your Mecca, your homeland.
My homeland, yeah, where I grew up.
Where you grew up, where you pray to five times a day.
That's right. This is why I've been participating in Ramadan.
It's not Mecca. It's the Mecca of North America, otherwise known as Las Vegas.
That's correct.
Kind of a Mecca.
So you trusted Imran with your dog?
I mean, I'm running a doggy daycare here, essentially.
that was when I dropped off. It's my mom's dog.
Yeah.
But my mom is also out of town.
Yeah.
Oh.
No one could babysit the dog sit. I dropped him off, and there's three other dogs there.
Okay.
All segmented too. He had
got
one dog
sections.
In one area, two dogs in another, and then a third Logan, the my mom's dog in another area.
Loud ass foster dog in the back room barking his head off, and just it's great.
I'm sure Imran's neighbors love him.
Oh my God.
How are they not on the podcast all the time?
Look, what, the dogs?
Yeah.
Actually, this room is pretty soundproof. Like, even if they bark, you're not gonna hear them. And luckily, our neighbors, One guy is never at his house. I don't know what happened to him. He lives in Arizona. He's never there. And the other lady is really old, and I'm not even sure she's still alive. But she's lived there for like 60 years.
I can't hear anything anyway. Yeah.
So there's no one
to
complain.
I don't even know who I am.
Yes. Hi. Come back
here.
Where
am I?
I'm calling Miss Cleo. Getting my horoscope.
Honestly, we should probably check in on her. I'm not sure.
I'm voting for Reagan.
She went to the voting booth. She never came back in 1984. I don't know what happened. Anyways, we're not here to talk about the dogs and the neighbors. We have a fun movie to review and a boatload of trailers. Trailer Palooza. Let's get into it.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
We had a bunch of trailers last week, and then this week, for some reason, everybody decided to just release a bunch of trailers and teasers.
More trailers than Nebraska.
Oh my God, that's a good one. More trailers than Omaha. So many trailers, you got to stay out of the way of the tornado. So I got them here alphabetically. This is how many trailers there are. We're going to start with the A's. This first one from Disney, Star Wars. Their next Star Wars show, a trailer for the show. It's called The Acolyte. It's not what's in Gatorade. Something else.
It's not what you water your lawn with.
Yeah,
it's good. In the future.
It's got acolytes in it. Brawny's got acolytes. No, this is The Acolytes. This is the show that is set during the High Republic time of Star Wars when everyone was smoking joints and hitting the bong. Okay, there's another bad joke.
That's the you're talking about the Old Republic.
Old High Republic. Oh.
Is it the High Republic and the Old Republic are like...
Isn't that the same thing?
Old precedes the High, but the High... It's like the Golden Age, the height of the Republic before the Sith.
I just assumed they were old and they were high all the time. So
yes.
The Old High Republic. So the show, 100 years before Episode One, The Phantom Menace. This is the timeline we're in. We've never seen any of these characters in live action. They have been around in books and video games. Knights of the Old Republic and some extended universe books. So, Anthony, I always love to start with you on these Star Wars things. We force you to watch Star Wars. You don't give a shit. That's why it's a great place to start.
So I don't even know. I watched the trailer and I had no idea what was going on.
What does this do anything?
I don't know what, nothing. I don't know what,
didn't
what
see,
I don't even know what you guys said. Like, what does that mean? I have nothing. I have literally, all I saw was, Trinity from
Trinity,
the Matrix.
Yeah, Carrie Ann Moss.
I guess she's a Jedi.
Yeah.
And Jedis are getting killed. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. What is this?
There's a lot of Jedis. There's a lot of different color lightsabers. This is
the old, way back in the day?
The Old Republic, and I believe this is, Ruggs, am I right? And this is like the beginning of the Sith, or is that what they're showing us?
What does that mean?
Like,
I don't even know what that means.
So when the Jedi Order gets started, right, they have this whole philosophy and they help mankind. And now this is like, that's when you call it the height of the Republic. Right. And now all of a sudden the Sith start coming into play. People who are using the Force for evil and killing Jedi. And there's an actual conspiracy and all that stuff.
Yeah. The red lightsaber is always bad and the other colors are always good. I don't know if this is Andor. It's going to be Andor like or more Obi-Wan like. I'm kind of torn. There's a lot of kids in the trailer. That's always a red flag sometimes. But then there's badass fight scenes with Trinity and this other chick with the braids. So Ruggs, I know you were looking forward to this era. It is something new we've never seen in Star Wars.
Right.
How did this hit you?
It looks a lot like it's just a little bit darker than the other Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
It looks like a little bit of a darker version. It's kind of like playing around with like a darker version of what we see in Ahsoka Mando. So that's cool that it's darker. There's tinges of the Obi-Wan show in here too.
Yeah, I believe there's a lot of Star Wars fans destroying this trailer online and.
Yeah, I don't have auto hate on. Like, you know, I'm not like automatically hating on it. It does feel very, Kathleen Kennedy, South Park version.
Good boy.
Great, you know, and that doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing.
I think you see what's cool. You see a Wookiee Jedi. You got the dude from Squid Game as one of the lead characters. That's Daphne Keene is also in this.
Is she?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's grown up. I think she has makeup on in the trailer. She's like white with the red eye makeup. And apparently there's a character. We're going to see a new weapon. It's not a lightsaber. It's a light whip. Like a lightsaber whip. And I was like, oh, that's fucking, that seems dope. There's a story out. The showrunner, I guess, wanted to try something different with the show and hired a writer that had never seen any Star Wars at all. Just to mix it up. It's either genius move or not, but it remains to be seen.
So I'm just reading something here. So the Jedi Order believes that the Sith have been vanquished for like 800 years. So there's been no Sith.
Right. So they've
been gone. Okay. They're like, they don't exist anymore. And it's just the Jedi's influence and it's the golden age of the Jedi. So this is probably talking about that turning point that where the Sith come back and all of a sudden all this like supposedly happy times are over.
That's the balance of the Force. You got to balance it.
That's right.
This has a 2-episode premiere June 4th. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. I don't know if I'm going to make Anthony watch this or not. Probably be like, what the fuck is going on?
I'll hate it when I watch it.
By the way, you can turn off auto hate in your iPhone settings, I believe. It's on by default.
Yeah.
But you just
I don't have it on default. Yeah, I'm trying to be more open-minded.
Auto hate is next to the autocorrect. Just turn off the auto hate. Listen, what do you think of this? Join this conversation. Join our Facebook group. It's called Jock and Nerd Nation.
Jock and Nerd.
It is an exclusive closed group. Lots of great posts and reactions in there this week. Get in there. Mix it up. Okay, we're still with the A's. The next thing I have is a teaser for the new Alien movie, Alien Romulus, directed by one Fetty Alvarez.
Ooh.
Do you know the Fetty Alvarez rugs?
No, I just know the rapper with one eye.
He, what? That one? That's Fetty Wap?
Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap, yes. They may be related, distant cousins.
He's a pirate. I don't know.
This guy also is a pirate. He recently wrote the Evil Dead reboot from like 2013.
Oh, okay.
Some other stuff. Anyways, Anthony.
Yes.
I'm going to start with you this time.
Well, you started with me last time, too. Oh, thank you.
I'm going to start with you again, then. This movie apparently is set between Alien and Aliens.
It's been dubbed an interquel.
Oh, interquel. Is that? Yeah. Oh, that's a fucking new phrase.
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
What's that?
It's a movie between sequels.
Yeah, between sequels. It's an interquel.
Oh, wow. An interquel.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Anyways, real short, 1 minute teaser. Really just
it's an in betweenquel.
It's an in betweenquel. You're just getting the mood. What did you think, Alien Romulus?
So this will be the seventh Alien film, and then if you count Alien versus Predator,
oh god, that's like 10 or something.
9.
Yeah.
This will be 9. When Alien Covenant came out, I basically went, yeah, this is it. I mean, it's not that it was horrible. It wasn't an Alien. Was it Resurrection?
Yeah.
Was that the fourth one?
Yeah, the third. Oh, yeah. Well,
that wasn't the fourth, and it wasn't an Alien versus Predator, but it wasn't good either. And you had Ridley Scott doing it, and it wasn't good. And I thought, you know, Alien was done. I remember during the COVID Investor Day announcements, they had talked about doing an Alien TV show.
That's still happening.
Oh, is that happening?
Yes. Okay. And I believe that's Noah Hawley, the guy who did Legion and Fargo. And that sounds great.
Okay, that's different. But this was supposed to be on Hulu. Now it's getting a theater release.
Yeah. No, the TV show is on FX Hulu. And I think this was a separate, always going to be theatrical
product. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, you know, I was a little bit excited for that. But I thought for the most part, I went, you know, they might be done. Like Aliens might be done.
Right.
But we did get Predator.
Yes, Prey.
Prey, yeah. Yeah. And that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me optimistic that, hey, maybe these franchises aren't done.
Yeah.
And then I saw this trailer. It's only a minute. But, you know, it's a well-cut trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. It's only a minute, and you can make anything look good for a minute. But the tone looks there. The scares, it looks... It has potential. I'll just say that.
Okay.
It has potential. And it's an interquel, too. So
it's an interquel. Yeah. Out of those 9 movies, arguably, there's 2 good movies. That's the track record they're running.
Alien and Aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some people like Prometheus. Some don't. Some.
I don't know. All that shit with David just went off the rails. I don't know. What the fuck, yeah. Ridley Scott. So he's producing on this one. Rugs. What kind of vibe are you getting from this? Is the Alien still a thing? Can it still work?
It looks like an Alien movie. It looks like a movie that was influenced by Alien. It looks like a lot of movies. It's got facehuggers.
Yeah,
it's got blood. So
it's got the xenomorph quick.
Doesn't
shot.
Have any distinguishable actors that I know of.
I believe the only one is Isabella Merced.
Who's that?
She's not huge now, but she's in James Gunn's Superman. She's been in a couple of things.
Oh, yeah. She was in Madame Web.
Oh, she was in Madame Web. That's right. Fucking forgot. God damn it.
Okay, yeah.
Wipe that from my memory.
But that's not the main girl.
She was Anya Corazon in Madame Web. Yes. No. No, I don't. Yeah.
She's going to get killed in it or something. But
probably.
Yeah, so that's a little bit weird. But, like, I'm down for it. I'm down to check this out. It looks like a... Hopefully, it'll at least be good. I'm not expecting it to be great. I think the great Alien movies are gone. We're not going to have that. But if it's just good and it's a good time at the theater,
yeah,
then I'm down for that.
I tell you what, this trailer got me kind of excited for this movie because the where it's set, the look of it, it kind of has that feel, late 70s, early 80s. It looks very much like the sets from those two movies. I read a couple articles, one, that he went to get the visual effects guys from Aliens to help him, and two, that he was like, I want to use as little green screen as possible. It's going to be a lot of practical effects, and you really get a sense of that even in this teaser. The face huggers look cool. It looks like the fucking Nostromo from the first movie and the second movie. And I think like there's 100 years between those two movies or something, like 200 years or something. Yeah. So lots of room in there to give us a story about what these xenomorphs are up to. It's coming out August 16th of this year.
Fede Alvarez, I think, too. I don't know a ton about him, but I think he seems to be kind of an up-and-coming guy within the horror industry. So
yeah, and you get great horror kind of jump scares in here. It's like the return of the original movie, which was a horror movie. The second movie was a war movie. I'm getting that original Alien horror vibe.
But I can't. Okay, so we had the initial scary alien on a ship movie.
Yes.
Then we had a team of people fighting off a team of aliens.
Bunch of aliens on a ship.
Then you got a kaiju at the end.
Yes. Yes.
And then you had a prison movie. And then you've had various weird existential like motherhood fucking film.
Right.
Then you had
the crossovers.
The genesis of all these aliens. And so, what do you want to see? Like, we've seen all these different angles. Like, what's the they're doing this thing like what they do with Godzilla? They're like making alien all these different things and living all these different kind of genres and or sides to the sci-fi story. Like, what do you want to see? Do you want to just go back to basics?
I think you just got to go right back to. Let's just make a scary alien film, because all these other ones that have been made recently, you kind of recapped, but they were all kind of doing different things. Like Alien Resurrection was fucking weird movie that was trying to be scary, but also trying to be like kind of like dark, like black comedy.
Yeah.
And then you had Prometheus, which tried to be really philosophical about this whole thing. And then Covenant was trying to build on that. And I think you just got to go back to let's make a scary fucking alien movie.
I think you're right.
So not about science, about
I mean, you can have the undertones of it, but it doesn't need to be much more than that. I mean, I'm just thinking about what was Prey. Prey wasn't really anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It had nothing to say, really.
Yeah, it was just like the first movie.
It was just a fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun hunting movie.
Yeah.
Where you got someone in an impossible situation. And they have to get out of it. And this, an alien is, while it's not the same, you know, Predator and Alien are different. I think if you go back to basics, which this trailer looks like it might be doing, I think you got it.
And you kill the xenomorph with fire, right? Is that the way you do it?
Or shoving it out of the airlock, which is that's how they kill them in every movie. At the end of the movie, you just shove them out the airlock.
It looks like this one, I mean, you've got a lot of aliens because you got.
Those facehuggers.
You know, you had a bunch of face huggers running after people. I have to admit, I when I saw the trailer, it did get me pumped, and I haven't been pumped for Alien.
I know, me too. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Like, I didn't need another chest bursting scene like they did. Do something like that, but different. But it's the one thing.
I mean, they do have a shot where you can see the fucking fallopian tube coming out of someone's mouth or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, when the thing comes out, the facehugger puts the little, it's pulling it out of their mouth there. Oh, and it's got the great H.R. Geiger design. But it is, it's the one, like if you read the synopsis for this, it's exactly the first movie. Young space colonizers find a derelict space station and they come face to face with the most terrifying thing. So it's the one thing they haven't really done is just go back to the original and do another great horror alien.
That's the thing. See, I rewatched Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get myself prepped for the new one.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just like the first Star Wars where they just redo Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't want them to do that either.
I'm like, they're all doing this now. They're all just remaking the first movie with like a different cast.
Well, and speaking of
the
remakes,
Force Awakens is the same shit.
Yeah. Speaking of remakes of stuff from the 80s, let's move on and transition to the next teaser trailer. We're moving on to The Bees. This is for Beetlejuice. The Beetlejuice sequel coming out, what, another 40 years, 36 years after the first one?
Right.
Directed by Tim Burton. And you do see returning Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara as the Dietzes, and Jenna Ortega as, I guess, Winona Ryder's daughter. It's very short. I loved Beetlejuice. And even though, again, this is like 1 minute, and they're doing a different version of the Harry Belafonte song. But the minute they go into the house and they go in the attic and I see the model on the table, I was like, oh,
geek bonus.
That's all I needed. This is a pure nostalgia play. I don't know if you need to make another movie, but I fucking love Beetlejuice. I think the title is clever.
I don't think this movie is necessary at all. You could just leave it at the one Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
But hey, they made it.
Does it do anything for you that Tim Burton's doing it?
I think that's the best part. It's like, I don't think you do this if Tim Burton is not.
I'm pulling for Tim. Hopefully he can make this happen and make it good. But I don't know anymore. In this environment, in this corporate fucking empty, hollow fucking cash grab environment, like, I don't know if anything good is possible anymore.
Well, and that's the thing. Christ. You got to imagine the studio is going, okay, Tim, we need you to bring this nostalgia back. Just do what you did. Do it again. Man, we just need some quick money. And he's probably like, look, I'll bring this character back, but it's going to be good. His track record lately as director has been, I mean, he did do the Wednesday TV show, a couple of those episodes. But Dumbo was the last big movie he did in 2019 for Disney live action. And apparently that was not good. So he really hasn't had a big hit in a while, but I love Tim Burton, and Michael Keaton looks old as shit. And then he has that line where he's like, the juice is loose, and I'm like, oh, is fucking OJ Simpson in this movie too? What the fuck is going on?
OJ.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say, I wasn't the biggest Beetlejuice guy. I haven't seen Beetlejuice in a really long time.
Oh, it's great.
It's so great.
Might have to watch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have really no opinion on this because I Beetlejuice. I remember watching a little bit of Beetlejuice as a kid. I think there was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon. The cartoon was fantastic. Yes,
but I literally could not tell you what his deal is. I have no idea.
You gotta say his name three times to get him.
He's a human exterminator. He gets people out of your house.
Yeah, sucks them into the the afterworld. I mean, that's why I think the title.
I still have no idea what that means.
Beetlejuice. Also, I had a huge crush on Winona Ryder in the 80s, back that late 80s. That Winona
so
Ryder.
Did everyone.
Oh, my God. That Winona Ryder was, I would watch everything she was in. But fucking Michael Keaton, great character. So hopefully it can be fun and it's not just an empty nostalgia cash grab. It's possible. This will be coming out September 6th this year, this short trailer. Okay, we're off the B's. Let's move on to F. We're getting through the alphabet, everybody. Furiosa. Mad Max Saga put out a second trailer, giving us a little more story about Furiosa and the movie. Anthony?
Yes?
What'd you think of this one? I like the first one, and I feel like this one is supporting that first one nicely, and it's getting me a little more geeked for this.
What do you mean by the first one?
The first trailer.
Oh.
Where it looked, right? It looked really CG and green screeny. I'll admit, I remember watching that. This one, maybe less so, but they're showing some fucking crazy-ass George Miller stunts. That's always a fun time.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest Mad Max guy. That being said, I can't see how this isn't good. Like, George Miller is still proven as of Mere Fury Road that he's still got it. These always have a unique flair to them, a unique look. You've got Anya Taylor-Joy, who's very up-and-coming. You've got Chris Hemsworth being the bad guy. Like, there's all these fun stuff, these things in here. Yeah, this is going to be good.
It looks like a sequel to Dune also, or a prequel.
What, because it's got sand in it? Yeah.
Come on,
sand
everyone.
Everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
This Dune
looks
happens.
Nothing like Dune.
No, it looks nothing like this. It's very brown. Everything's very brown.
It's a brown movie.
It's a brown movie. You got fucking Immortan Joe also coming back. That character's crazy. I guess she lives in a lush forest called the Green Space, so they got to protect it. You see flashbacks about her mom. And I think she really looks a lot. By the end of this trailer, she looks like fucking she could grow up to be Charlize Theron in that other Mad Max movie. Like, I buy it now. Ruggs, what do you think?
I didn't know I wanted a Furiosa movie, but the way it's being presented, I'm down. I'm down for Furiosa. So, let's see. It looks like it's got a bunch of action. It looks like it's fun. It looks like there's going to be definitely some George Miller ass kicking and theatrics. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's even a quarter as good as Fury Road is, it's still worth seeing in the theater. So,
I mean, there's people on fire getting run over by semi trucks. What else do you need? What more do you want?
That's it.
That's every George.
Hopefully the story's a little good and Chris Hemsworth doesn't ruin the movie. So,
there is a little fear of me that it's like he is so over the top cartoony that maybe it's too much.
Witness me.
But that fucking nose and the facial hair and he's Lord Dementis. Holy shit.
He can't be any worse than the dude that played in Commando as well, the main villain.
Oh, that guy. That guy is great. Commandos.
He was in Mad Max too.
He was. That's
yeah.
what I mean.
Oh yeah,
he was
that
the
guy.
Main bad guy.
That's right.
And then his body completely changed.
That's yeah. right. He had Lord Humongous in that other one. It's great. Lord Humongous. Anyways, this one only 2 months away, May 24th, 2024. Lots of shit coming out in the theaters, on the TV. Okay, that was F. Let's move on to H. Because HBO Max, or just Max, whatever the fuck it's called, gave us a set of dueling trailers for House of the Dragon Season 2. One from Team Black, calling the official Black Taylor. Taylor?
Black Taylor. And Jesus Christ, Black how racist
Taylor.
Are you?
Black Taylor. I love his latest single on Spotify. And then a green trailer. Team Green, Team Black. Team Black being the team of Rhaenyra Targaryen, and Team Green being the team of Alicent. And now it's starting to come back to me where Season 1 left off. Anthony, back to you. What'd you think? I like this idea of these dueling trailers.
I did too. I didn't realize when I first saw it in the notes, I was like, Black and Green? That's never... What does that mean? Usually there's a red band trailer.
Right.
So I didn't know what was going on. And then once I saw the Black one and then I saw the green one, I go, oh, they're doing these trailers from each side, which I thought was a clever move.
Very clever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, House of the Dragon, the trailers are well done. It was clever to do it from both sides because there were times throughout the first season where I flip-flopped.
Oh, yeah.
Who I was cheering for.
Yeah.
Because there are things each side does right and wrong. But yeah, I'm all in on House of the Dragon. I mean, House of the Dragon did what I thought was impossible, which was bring me back to Game of Thrones after that last season.
They're back, baby. So, Game of Thrones is back.
Game of Thrones is back. And they set it up, you know, it ends, the last season one ends with, you know, such a horrible thing happening that, you know, the dragon, the big dragon eating the little dragon in one of Rhaenyra's, or I forget what her fucking name
Rhaenyra,
is. Rhaenyra's kids dies, and the dude with the one eye was just trying to scare him. He wasn't trying to kill the kid, but the dragon went off.
Oh, that's right.
He was just trying to intimidate the kid, but the dragon got a little too riled up.
You can't control these things. It's a wild fucking
thing.
Dragon
is huge.
Yeah, and the giant, the scale of this. Ruggs, what'd you think of these? I'm starting to remember how the king, she says, Rhaenyra says the king wanted me, his first heir. And then I remember Alicent was like, he told me when he was dying, he really wants my son to be on the throne. And they're going to have to battle it out. Whose team are you on? What'd you think of these trailers?
I don't know about whose team I'm on, but I just know that the youngins are going to be fucking shit up because they have no idea what they're doing. And they're just they're pushing this into like chaos, right?
Yeah.
They're like, they're hell bent on just fucking shit up. So it's going to be interesting. And you got Matt Smith who's pulling the strings.
Okay, Matt Smith looks amazing in all these with his blonde hair.
The dude with one eye wants to fight him.
Yes.
Part of the trailer where he says he wants to test himself against him.
Yeah, I want to see that happen.
Yeah, I want to see that happen.
I'm down for this too. So far, I'm pretty open to all of this stuff that we're looking at right now.
I remember thinking I'm Team Rhaenyra's spec when the show ended, Team Black. I think I'm still Team Black. I think.
Well, what do you think? The king wanted her to be. He named her the king,
yeah,
right?
So. Yeah. And then it was taken, and you can't trust these fucking Hightowers. Remember the Hightowers? You can't trust them.
No.
Shady motherfuckers. And the dragons look fucking great in these shots with the dragons. So that is all happening this summer, June 16th, on your Tevlovision. On Max, and then the other thing from Max, last trailer, we made it to the P's, the trailer alphabet, the penguin, Colin Farrell, in the fat suit, as Oswald Cobblepot. This one coming out fall, no date, but fall of this year. Anthony, back to you.
Yeah.
Is this something we needed that you want to see? Did his performance in The Batman hook you enough to have what make you want to watch this?
I'll probably watch it. I'm not super over the moon about a penguin show. That said, the whole appeal to this is, I think I said it last week, is just Colin Farrell. It's Colin Farrell underneath all that.
He looks amazing. You forget right. It's him. I'm like, oh my right. God,
that,
look at this.
That's the whole appeal, yeah. Is that it's a dude that doesn't look anything like that playing the penguin and playing it, you know, pretty decently, pretty well.
Yeah. He like sounds like he's Tony Soprano.
Yeah, he looks like Tony Soprano. What a
doesn't sound like appeal. Himself at all. Yeah,
is watching someone that doesn't look like that. That is watching an Irish, good-looking Irish guy play a overweight New York Italian.
I mean, his teeth, waddles. The details on his teeth with the little caps. And I do love him going. When I was 14, this guy Rex Calabrese died. They threw him a parade. Can you believe that? And he just wants that kind of recognition. Ruggs, what do you think this show is going to be about based on this teaser?
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be definitely, they prime you for the mob, like a very mobby, mobstery type thing. Yeah. So I feel like it's going to be a mafioso like show, like a Sopranos without the comedy.
Yes. Sopranos of Gotham. Wait,
did they make a show like that? Like a Sopranos without the comedy?
Without
like,
the comedy? What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, Sopranos is like a black comedy, right? So
I guess. I mean, I wouldn't consider it a comedy. Sopranos is a drama.
Big Pussy? Come on. That's a great.
Yeah, but these are real names. I would imagine.
You know, they get lost in the Pine Barrens.
That was great.
Paulie Walnuts. Paulie Come Walnuts. On. Everything that he said was hilarious.
I mean, they used the actual fucking mobsters on the show. It was funny.
Yes.
But no, this looks like some prestige crime noir shit. You got Kristen Milioti also in this, Sophia Falcone, and a couple other people. Clancy Brown. Is this one? Yeah. Salvatore Maroni. I don't know. This looks, it looks good. It looks good. He's crazy. That make, I can't
like,
believe
no one really was like clamoring for this. No one was like, I need to watch more Penguin, but you got to give it to Colin Farrell. Like when he's got charisma and he in this performance and he draws you in. Now, can he do that over a sustained period of time? I don't know.
This could be like some Emmy nominations the way this is, you know, the way he's acting this shit.
It all depends how it unfolds.
Plus, give us something to tide us over. This is Batman. Another movie ain't coming out for another 12 years. Not really. 2 years.
12 years.
So look forward to that.
Which of these trailers were you most
good question. I was going to ask that. Who wants?
I'll start.
Okay.
Alien Romulus.
You know what? My answer is the same. Out of all these, I was like, oh, shit.
I don't know what does Romulus even mean, though? Isn't that like a Roman king or a Greek king?
Romulus was the legendary founder and first king of Rome.
There you go. Why is it called that?
Well, I mean, I think the base they find, it's probably called Romulus.
Okay. That was the one that got me. I think it was the best cut, short. Music,
yeah,
just unexpected. You know, Game of Thrones would be good, but I thought that was the best cut trailer.
That one got me the most excited. Maybe the Acolyte a little bit. I don't know, but the Alien trailer. Ruggs, what about you? What are you most excited about? Always,
I don't think my House of the Dragons probably the thing I'm gonna like the most.
Yeah, those are
that's
good
a
too.
Fair one.
It's good TV.
It's always good TV. Good solid TV coming back. All right.
I feel like I can bet on that one.
Right. If they can keep up the quality in the first season, it's going to be good. All right. We'll take a quick break here, listener. I'm going to play some promos and come back. Talk about over the top Conor McGregor.
Wait, we're talking about the movie Over the Top?
Yes.
That's the wrong movie. I didn't watch that movie.
You got to go over the top. We're talking about the modern Over the Top. No, Roadhouse right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
What's up? This is Brian, and I'm the host of Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. That's right, a podcast dedicated to my favorite TV show, Parks and Rec. Every week, I discuss my favorite things about the show, which include character breakdowns, episode rewatches, and other random facts and tidbits about the show. You can find me on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast and listen wherever you get your podcast now. You will literally love it.
Attention podcast listeners and YouTube watchers. I'm Logan, the host of Mostly Superheroes, a weekly pursuit for the world's best stories with an emphasis on live-action superhero stuff. Every week, join me, PC Mike, The Giggler, Scotty Scoop, and Carrie as we talk MCU, DCU, books, TV, movies, and more. MostlySuperheroes.com is where you want to be. Watch us on YouTube, listen where you get your podcasts, and we'll see you Monday, Sunday on Patreon. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Doc and Nerd.
Listener, if you enjoy this show, it is a perfect time for you to join our awesome fan club on Patreon. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Jock and Nerd!
There's a link in the episode description, and you can give back on a monthly or annual basis and get fun stuff like access to an exclusive podcast feed where the shows come out early. There's bonus content. There's additional movie reviews on that feed. Where you can join us on our monthly Discord hangout we do every month. The next one will be April 18th, 2024. And you can pick a movie for us to watch and review. You can get a t-shirt, lots of fun stuff. You become a special producer and help the show keep going. We appreciate everyone's support. As always, jockandnerd.com/Patreon. Check it out. All right, let's get there. Let's go to the Roadhouse. This week's review is the Amazon Prime release of Roadhouse. Here is your spoiler alerts.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
This is also infamously the movie Doug Liman said was mad that it wasn't getting a theatrical release, even though I don't think they told him that, really. And he said he was going to boycott the premiere at South by Southwest, but then didn't and was there and got a standing ovation.
He said that the reason why he showed up, he's like, this is the only time my movie's ever going to be seen in the theater, so I'm going to watch it.
Okay, fair enough. I think that was all a stunt to get people into the movie, and it probably helped. Smart stunt. This is a reimagining of the classic 1989 Patrick Swayze cult action movie of the same name, Roadhouse. Joel Silver also producing this one, as he did the original. The amount of cocaine consumed, unclear. I don't know if it matched.
It doesn't seem like there was much.
Yeah, I think that may be one of the big differences. The first one definitely had a lot of cocaine while they were making the movie.
Yeah.
On the Rotten Tomatoes, the movie currently sitting at a 60% tomato meter, 5.6 out of 10, and 56% audience score. Okay. Okay, it was made for about $85 million. Now, the story I heard is, I said this a few weeks ago, Amazon told him, we can give you $60 million and we can put it in the theater, or we'll give you $85 million and we put it on streaming. And he picked the more money, because why wouldn't you? So I don't know what he was talking about. But Doug Liman is the director of this movie from a screenplay by Anthony Bagarozzi and Chuck Mondry. Also, they've been trying to get this movie made for a long time. In 2015, when we started this podcast, I don't know if you remember the story of Ronda Rousey attached in a Roadhouse remake back then.
That would have been terrible.
That would have been really bad.
And then remember she got beat in the fight by that one girl?
Holly Holm, yes.
Yeah, and then like her career was kind of, everything got dropped. I don't know what happened. They put it on the back burner. That's
probably for the best.
Probably for the best. That would have been a mistake. Instead, we get Jake Gyllenhaal
as Elwood Dalton, and other cast featuring Conor McGregor in his feature film debut as Knox. Daniela Melchior, Ratcatcher, playing the love interest, Dr. Ellie. Here, Billy Magnuson as one of the bad guys, Ben Brandt. And then you got Jessica Williams as Frankie, the owner of the bar. And Joaquin de Almeida as the sheriff. This guy is in everything. I do love the Joaquin de Almeida, Ellie's father, you know, the sheriff. Fucking guy's in everything. And a quick cameo by one Austin Post, also known as Post Malone. In the very beginning of the movie. Did you know that was his real name? I didn't know.
I had no idea, to be honest.
Fucking
actually.
Austin Post Malone. Austin. I see. And there's a couple other people. Arturo Castro as one of the bad guys named Mo. A couple of, but that's your main cast. Now, Anthony, you just watched this. This is great.
Just right?
Oh, my God. Yep. Fresh. All right. And I know how you feel about the first one. What happens in this rated R, little bit over 2 hour movie? This reimagining of Roadhouse.
Well, there's a former UFC fighter who has a dark past, and he's kind of a nomad, kind of a disgraced UFC fighter, and a bar owner with a bar named The Roadhouse is looking for some security, some help, because her bar is consistently being... terrorized by local goons. So she finds this former UFC fighter, Elwood Dalton, pays him some money to clean up the Roadhouse. Little does she know, little does he know, but she knows there is a deeper reason for why these goons keep terrorizing this bar, and Elwood Dalton gets himself into more shit than he realized by taking on this job.
Yeah, location-wise, we're not in Jasper, Mississippi. In the
far, I think it was Missouri.
Was it Missouri? Jasper, Missouri? We are in the Florida Keys for this version. Now, I think we all know, I believe I all know how you guys feel. We love the first one. You know, it is a cult classic. Didn't need to be remade or reimagined, whatever. They're doing it. It's here. We watched it, Anthony.
Yep.
What did you think, fresh off the viewing?
Yeah, I was when Ruggs suggested to watch Roadhouse, whenever it was for me, and I saw it. There's a clip of me that Imran continually plays of my reaction to that movie. If you want, you can play it right now if you still have it. If you don't, then I just queued you up for nothing.
One was it?
I fucking loved it.
Oh, I do have it.
I fucking loved it.
That's from the Roadhouse.
That's the Roadhouse. Yeah,
and you did it perfect.
That movie was it was such a surprise, and I couldn't believe I'd never had seen it. All time movie, you know, in a kind of a shitty way, but all time.
Yeah.
So this Roadhouse, I was still kind of anticipating this film. Now, I don't know that I didn't think that they would be able to capture the magic of the original, because the original is so of its time and such a thing back then. But I was anticipating this when you had Doug Liman, you have Jake Gyllenhaal, you got Conor McGregor in this. And I thought the concept was somewhat interesting. So watch the film, obviously, just a couple hours ago. Overall, it's all right. I'll just say it's all right.
Okay.
I don't think it gets... It's not... If it was called Stanley's or the Saving the Bar or something stupid...
It could have been something completely different, yeah.
No, well, but the thing is, I don't think it does any... Like, it doesn't get any attention.
Oh,
so it's called Roadhouse.
Okay.
And that's part of the draw, right? Is how do you recreate that film? How can you do something that's so of its time, that's so unabashedly... tasteless, as Ruggs said in our tournament.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see what they could do. They couldn't live up to it. And it in retrospect now is an impossible task.
Yeah.
The movie's all right. It's fine. It's inevitably going to be compared to Roadhouse, the original, and there's just no way.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal as Dalton, he's a good actor. There's really no one like Patrick Swayze. And I was trying to think of like who was the closest, and they're trying to go for that laid back, cool vibe. But this guy, Dalton, this is a little bit kind of a like a different, he's got an underlying rage. Whereas the original Dalton was more of like a Buddhist monk in a white guy body.
Yeah.
I thought for a lot of the movie, it was actually kind of a little bit boring at times. But I did enjoy Conor McGregor. I think he actually is the only one that injects any sort of personality into this movie. Mm-hmm. The fight scenes at the end are pretty decent. I think they go really over the top, which I think kind of helps the movie and made it a little bit more memorable. It's just, at the end of the day, it wasn't ever going to live up to the original Roadhouse, and it's inevitable that we're going to compare them.
Oh, we're going to compare them.
And this one just doesn't have anything to really hang its hat on other than being a remake of that. I'll recap my opening thoughts by saying I remember I watched listened to the rewatchables.
Yeah.
Roadhouse, which was good.
Yeah.
And they kind of summed up why that one is so funny and good.
Yeah.
Is because that movie, for all intents and purposes, is kind of a joke.
Yeah, and everybody's playing it straight.
Right, but everyone's playing it like it's not a joke.
Right.
Even though the concept is a joke.
Yes.
And it's impossible. This movie acknowledges at times that it's the joke, but then also plays sometimes serious.
Yeah.
And I don't think it just doesn't hit the tone that original could have hit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, this one doesn't have any boobies. This one doesn't really have any sort of like scumbaggy things.
Yeah.
You don't have any iconic real lines. So yeah, it was just, in retrospect, obviously it was just, it had a bar that was impossible to hit, and it doesn't hit it. But that's all to say though, is if it was just something else, it would be fine.
Okay. Yeah. No, like that original, it exists in a world where bouncers are celebrities and are known like across the country.
Oh, and it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
There's no way without the internet. Like, how the hell is that even possible?
Well, that's the great thing about Roadhouse. Yeah. If I may interject.
Yeah. Well, no, interject sure. And give me your opening thoughts.
All right. So I have to talk about the old movie. I have to talk about the original.
Absolutely.
All right. Original Roadhouse takes this ridiculous concept. And by the time you're halfway through the movie, you're like, yeah, bouncers have a culture.
Yes.
Yes, they're a thing. Yeah. Like, coolers. There's famous coolers. Bouncers. They're coolers. Called coolers. Yeah. Yeah. So you buy into this stupid shit and you like wish it was real, but it's not. There's no like cooler magazine where like this guy gets an award cooler, for the best cooler.
Cooler conventions.
Like, no, there's not. Yeah. But just like John Wick creates this like fake continental fucking assassins thing.
Yeah.
They created this fucking, this whole mystique about like, yes, you need a special energy and know-how to be a cooler. You don't just get, the whole entire point of Roadhouse is that any friggin' guy who knows how to fight, but you have to really know like how to fucking control people and how to fucking set the move. Yeah. Yes. So there's none of that in this movie. So it's missing that mystique. It's missing that je ne sais quoi, that kind of like creation, that world building, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's missing. I mean, look, this movie's got titties, but they're Post Malone's. Like, they're jiggling more than any tits I've seen in any
a lot of man ass. But again, the first movie is a combination of the time, of the charm of Patrick Swayze, of just the silliness in the writing. It's again like a one-off. Like, you can't make this again.
They're pushing all the envelopes in that movie.
So what did
movie.
You
They're...
think of this one as just as a movie?
I felt it was mediocre.
Okay.
I did enjoy it because it was an action movie, and I like action movies. But if you're going to tell me, like, oh, this is like a 90s movie, like redone now, The Beekeeper did it better.
Well, it's reminding me, it's similar to The Beekeeper, yes.
The Beekeeper.
I would agree The Beekeeper did
like
it better.
The Beekeeper did it better. Even that last fight scene where the beekeeper and that guy are fighting in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
That's more memorable than what happened in
Stabs
this.
Stabs him in the face and knocks his leg off.
Yeah,
and shit.
Like, you gotta get a fucking gunshot to the face and he keeps going. So, I don't know. I just feel like, not that this movie's bad. I'm not going to say this movie's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's embarrassing that it's called Roadhouse.
Really embarrassing.
Yeah, I really think, it shouldn't be called Roadhouse.
Yeah.
They should have called it The Last Holdout or something like that.
But that's the thing. Nobody would have watched it.
Yeah, nobody would have cared unless he had a better hook. And it would have been
the,
like, oh,
that's
you're
the catch 22.
It'd be like, oh, you're trying to be like Roadhouse. And then it would have been accused of like ripping off Roadhouse.
Yeah, I guess. But like another thing is that, okay, so the whole plot revolves around this guy who's on the phone with his dad. And you never see the dad.
Right.
Like, yeah, you have this, like this enemy that's lurking in the background.
Yeah, you never actually see the real bad guy.
Yeah, you never even know what the fuck that's about.
Let me say, first of all, I did a doubleheader. I watched this movie, and then I was like, run it back with the old one, and I watched the old one back to back. And while it's a different, you can't match the original because of when it was made. Swayze's charm is unique. Nobody has it like that. However, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I kind of had fun with this movie. I like that this is a different take on Dalton's character. It has some of the same foundational
things. But what does it add? What does it add?
So he's just different. This is a Dalton who's smiley. He's got one-liners. But he also has a death in his past. He's also like off the grid, kind of like the original Dalton.
Yeah, I don't know if it adds anything.
It has the spirit. It has some of the spirit of the original. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a really good job in this. He was very charismatic in a different way. But it's just, and the fight scenes are pretty good. Maybe a little bit over reliance on CG, but I did enjoy the way they shot.
Yeah, there was
them.
A little bit of. Look, I don't hate this movie, but I just think it doesn't really add anything. They should have just made an action movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I mean,
I agree with both of you. I do think it's an entertaining film, but I agree with Ruggs in that it's just. It doesn't even live up. It's not even close. Like Jake Gyllenhaal, they're playing it so in the original, because we have to compare them,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's called Roadhouse. You can't not compare them.
Yes.
The original, Patrick Swayze is a guy that he did something horrible. He got angry with
over a girl
and killed somebody, right?
Killed a dude.
It's not like he has underlying rage. It's just like he knows the consequences of fighting and he tries to avoid it. But he's this like Zen dude that also rips 20 heaters a day.
Yes. Lots of smoke.
So there's just so many things going on with him. Right? And then you got the Tai Chi.
Yeah.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal, they were trying to go for the same, somewhat of the same charisma, like this unassuming guy.
Right.
But he's way more jacked than Swayze.
Oh, he is super jacked.
And he's taller. So, and Conor McGregor's shorter. So, like, the whole thing about Swayze is like, everybody's like, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and it was kind of a charm to that, too.
Yes.
And Jake has, they're doing it where, like, he's this charming guy. Like, not charming, but, like, kind of unassuming.
Yeah.
But he has, like, an underlying rage. And I don't feel like I got the underlying rage part. Like, I think I just didn't buy it that he had this underlying rage.
I mean, he's saying it by the end where he's like, I'm not afraid of you guys. I'm afraid of what's going to happen if you keep pushing me. I know how this ends. And then he proceeds to murder a bunch of people. So,
but he's still just not, unfortunately, and he's a good actor. He's a really good
actor.
He's just not as cool as Swayze.
No, but that's a whole different charm. That's a different Riz Swayze has in that movie.
I know, but that's the point. Like, you can't.
This is, yeah, it's just
not the. It's not the same, and it's not even distinct enough to be its own thing.
That's true. It's just
you're
like
too stupid to have fun.
This nice guy. Yeah.
I mean, I do enjoy, like, they were trying, right? So they have him drive the dudes to the hospital.
Yeah,
and all that shit
some
in the beginning.
Funny bits.
But
even
then,
that's
like,
stupid. Like,
even then, yeah, even then, like, I just don't like the bad guys being jokey as well. And in the first one, they are jokes, but the bad guys don't realize they're jokes.
Right.
Where in this one, you have you have multiple bad guys making jokes.
Yeah.
You have the little short dude that's like, oh, no, I don't know what's going on.
That's
like, he's like narrating the whole thing.
Mo is hilarious. I love
it. And then
Mo.
Like you have you introduce the villain.
Yeah.
So like you can even compare like the main villain to Ben Gazzara. Ben Gazzara is like, over the top evil,
yeah.
But he's plays it straight. Whereas this guy is like, the first scene is him trying to get like a shave on a fucking
boat.
Rock. Like,
yeah.
It's just,
it's like, keep it loose, man. But he's a spoiled rich kid, right?
This movie, this again, annoying this character. Movie's trying to be in on the joke.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it works.
I will agree. The original movie has way more memorable bad guys. Like Ben Gazzara as Brad Wesley was great.
Connor's trying to be Jimmy.
Connor, yeah. There's Jimmy and there's no Wade Garrett also in this one, the sidekick badass that comes in. But it does have, let's go through some of this stuff because I want to talk about the opening scene where we are introduced to Dalton via Post Malone, all kind of like tubby fighting.
Could they have cast someone? I know it's Post Malone, but could they have cast someone that was in shape?
Yeah, what is that really the shape he's in? Did he do this for the movie?
It's like his nipples are like the only thing that are not tattooed on his body. And I just couldn't stop. I'm like, I'm starting out this movie looking at a man's nipples.
Apparently,
this is what kind of movie am I watching?
Bad CG in this beginning fight, which I can't remember. It looked all right. Like the fights are decent.
I think you read about it. I honestly didn't notice that either. CG.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Dalton is so badass, they've established that he just shows up and the guy's like, oh, fuck no, I'm not fighting him. And he just takes the money and leaves and Frankie finds him. Right. So,
right from the beginning, though, what they're doing is I get what they're doing. They're trying to make it realistic. So, if you're going to have this scenario where there's a bouncer that can beat up everybody, make him a UFC fighter that everyone knows about, right? Because in the original, though, it was a cooler that everyone knows about, but like, how is that possible? But that's a thing is by making it realistic, it actually takes away the charm.
They grounded it like too much with this, but it makes more sense. Like, you know, something bad happened. Everybody knows who he is. That's how
it makes sense,
but it's not,
but it's not charming.
It's not, it doesn't have that charm.
It doesn't make it already makes it less memorable. Go ahead.
Do you feel like this is the thing that I felt like when I watched Roadhouse?
Which one? The first one.
They created an environment where the bar fights, even though they are ridiculous and it wouldn't happen like that. You buy into it because it fits in the movie. When the bar fights, they made it so grounded that when the bar fights happened, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, the way it's unfolded. People are just getting up out of their chairs and just hitting the guy next to them.
Bar fight. Yeah, they get some of the punches. Yeah, all the breakaway tables, and it's just like all the real stunts. Guys doing about, the stunts. Yeah.
There's something about chaos. It just doesn't have that. It has to have that mystique, that magic that makes everything feel like it should happen. Yeah. And there, it's a little stilted.
So you're right.
There's inconsistencies in the tone of this movie.
Yes,
because sometimes they do play it straight.
Right.
But then there are other times where they play it jokey and they're in on the joke. You know, they're literally in the movie. They're discussing how ridiculous the title of the Roadhouse is.
I think it's funny that the Roadhouse is called the Roadhouse and not the Double Deuce.
So they want you to laugh at it, but then they also want you to think it's serious. But then they also want you to laugh at it when Connor's there.
Yeah.
But then they want you to think it's serious when he turns serious. Like it's. It doesn't
the dog that got eaten by the crocodile. That's actually sad.
Right.
They're trying to play like a joke.
They play it as a joke.
This is a movie where a dude gets eaten by a fucking crocodile. I didn't see that coming. I was like, fucking crocodile. But you're right. In the first one, the bar fights just happen. And you're like, what? This one, they're like explaining these guys are coming in to cause trouble. For a reason.
Well, it's not only the bar fights. It's like the girls taking off their top and then the dude getting mad because
he was
pawning off his girl.
The whole entire place was a fucking shithole.
You can kiss him. $10 a titty. Wasn't it? The guy's like, only one problem. I don't have $20. And he squeezes and presses. So ridiculous. They're selling drugs. So, but look, in this one, you got a couple. I like the couple of the things they kept. Like he still drinks coffee at the bar. The girl brings him breakfast in the morning. Same thing happens in the first movie. And, you know, he just stands there and observes the bar fights and kind of trains the staff. Some of those moments are fun. And I really do think the lines are really funny. Like, I mean, he was charming. He's like, do you have insurance? Did anybody know where the nearest hospital is? And Mo is like, oh, yeah, it's just like 25 minutes over there. When he's getting pummeled on the piano, it's so ridiculous. He goes, this piano's out of tune. And Knox is like, sounds great to me. Continues to fucking beat him. But you see him almost try to kill himself. He has some darkness. What did you think of the chemistry between him and Danielle Melchior's Dr. Ellie? Similar thing. They meet. He gets cut. She got to stitch him up. They flirt.
Well, she's fixing the stitch. And did he get a cut? His wound opened up from the last time.
He got stabbed in the beginning. And
he got stabbed in the parking lot after.
Dude, I mean, they're. Their chemistry's all right. I mean, that's nothing to write home about.
No. Kelly Lynch and Swayze did it better.
No, I mean, Swayze fucking picks up that girl and just fucks her against the wall.
Yes.
It's just tough. It's just a tough thing to really, you wrote yourself into a hole making it.
Yeah. Like I did it after the movie was over. I didn't think about, now this girl's not unattractive. She's really, really cute, but like they didn't create that aura of sexuality that the first Roadhouse did. And then you thinking root about Kelly Lynch for like the next like 2 weeks.
Right.
You like close your eyes. You're like, oh, there she is.
Whereas this one, they had them flirt in the beginning a little.
Yeah.
But then she kind of isn't around really that much.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden she takes him out on a date.
Yeah. They go on the date. It's like,
and it's like, I wasn't rooting. You didn't do enough for me to root for them to want to fuck.
That's true.
You know, it's again, the movie's fine on its own. It's just that we have to compare it to the original.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's its fatal flaw.
So,
yeah,
but
that it's called Roadhouse.
You get, 100%. You still get the line, nobody ever wins in a fight, which is great. You get, so instead of the
pain doesn't hurt, he says that.
Oh, yeah, he says pain don't hurt. And instead of
the thing about the nobody ever wins in a fight, what makes that a little bit more difficult to swallow from this guy?
Yeah.
Is he's a professional
fighter, right? He's not a cool air. His whole job is to kind of avoid fighting.
Right. He was a professional fighter. No, I know he went crazy in a fight.
So
but
he
still
knows that somebody does win in a fight because he's won fights. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's he chose that as his career. Like,
yeah,
it's just different.
Instead of the Tai Chi, there's a quick shot of him doing like yoga on the boat and the training. Yeah, so they kinda,
I remember seeing that.
They kind of throw that in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the town is corrupt. So, but then you're missing things like, you know, the monster truck scene in the original is just ridiculous.
Well, you got to see them extorting the people.
Yeah,
and
they burned,
terrorizing everybody.
They burned down the bookstore just like they burned down Red's hardware store in the original. And it's the, you know, the really, that kind of gets them back in as he's about to leave. And then he's like, I gotta fucking stay.
I did like when he punches the dude in the throat and like,
oh, that's great. He's like,
the guy dies.
You just broke your thyroid bone and may have collapsed your artery. You're going to have a hard time breathing. And he just kills him.
Right.
Takes the body with him. And that's when Mo is like, oh, hey, what's up? Oh, that guy looks heavy. He's like, actually, you know, these guys weren't as friendly as I thought. So I'm just going to go. And he's like, thank you for the no more violence. That guy was hilarious.
What did you we're dancing around it. I already kind of gave my thoughts, but what were your guys' thoughts on Conor McGregor?
Well, boy, where do we start with the intro of his bare ass in Italy?
I enjoyed that.
Him.
And the bonus scene that at the end.
Oh, yeah, where he breaks out of the prison.
Rugs, oh, there was a scene at the end.
He gets out of the hospital.
The hospital. Yeah, there's a quick like mid-credit scene after the credits where he's just harassing the people at the hospital. He walks out in a robe.
Oh,
but his butt hanging out.
With his butt hanging out. That's it.
Got it.
But Ruggs, what do you think of Cotter?
He was fine. I mean, he did inject a little bit of chaos in there.
He was the only thing I said just earlier, but I'll even reiterate and make a further point. He was the only thing that reminded me of the chaos of the 80s movies.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they just got a guy.
Yeah.
Who looked fucking crazy, and he did a ton of steroids for this.
Yeah.
And he's just acting. He's acting like he's in an 80s movie.
He is. He's over the top. He's screaming every line, the same line delivery, but he is kind of intimidating.
They're ADRing a lot of his lines, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. I don't think he's a great actor, and I just think he was being himself just as a fucking.
Which is fine.
Which is fine, and it kind of actually works. And to the point where, you know, when they face off in that last fight, you're like, holy shit, this is going to be a fucking brawl at these two. And it kind of is. Here's what I didn't like. Them fucking ADRing the line, be nice, in that fight. And you're not even sure who fucking said it. They're just fighting.
I don't even remember them saying.
Oh, my God. At the end, they're fighting. And you just hear someone go, be nice, real quick. And that's it. I was like, really? You need to shoehorn.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they shoehorned it in there.
You need to shoehorn that in there. But He what he needed to do in the role, I thought he did it. And like the way they shot some of these fights was cool at the UFC. The first person, you get that point of view getting punched in the face and shit. Like that was kind of cool. And just like there's a lot of long camera shots with fight choreography going on. Wasn't bad.
If anything, what they needed for him to do was kill somebody that we liked.
Oh,
we were missing that in this movie.
Yeah.
We needed the bad guy.
Because they kill, he kills Wade Garrett. And I was like, oh, right. Shit. That part of the movie, you're like, fuck, you just pissed off fucking Dalton.
Right. Like, even when they burn the bookstore, those people aren't dead.
No, and they were barely scratched or hurt. I was like, okay, let us know if they're okay. And like, nothing, they were fine. That was odd. I thought that was weird. Also, the other thing that was weird, that so when we see him, he takes the dynamite from Brant's house, right, Dalton, and he's taping it up, and then he meets them. He doesn't have this money, and at first, you know, the sheriff has told him that I need your help because they have Ellie, and then he shows up, and he's the sheriff sitting there with his hat on, and I love Dalton's line. He's like, that guy looks way too comfortable for a guy who just had his daughter kidnapped. So you think this is all a setup. He's like, there's no kidnapping, you idiot. And then Brant's like, well, actually, I did actually kidnap her. And he's like,
double cross. He goes, like, double cross.
Yeah, double cross. And yet still, Dalton sets off dynamite very close to the boat. How did he know he wasn't going to fucking kill her? You don't even know where she is. I was like, bro, she could have just killed Ellie. What are you doing? And they almost drowned. So it was just a little irresponsible use of dynamite.
Yeah.
But he does let the rage take over.
What did you guys like the final, I wouldn't even call it a fight, but the final last 20 minutes of it, you know, boat chase into a boat being into thrown into the roadhouse to them fighting in the roadhouse?
There's not nearly as much explosions in this one as there was in the original. More things needed to explode, but
this was kind of face-off-y.
It was more face-off-y. You're right. Yeah.
The boats.
Yeah.
I mean, the Brant is there and you're like, this guy's a fucking, you can take this guy out, and he kind of knocks him out, and Connor drives through in the truck, and that fight I thought was pretty brutal. And the ending, I like that fight. The ending is crazy. First of all, Knox just snaps the dude's neck, which was hilarious. So he's just like, would you just shut up? And then holy shit, the stabbing, multiple stabbings, like he's a fucking vampire, to kill him at the end, but a long, brutal fight all over the place. I thought the fight looked good. It looked like Jake could hold his own.
Well, they dropped the whole Metallica at the end.
Oh, yeah. They were fighting to the tune of Enter Sandman also, which...
That's an odd choice, but whatever. It's odd,
but it kind of like pumped you up during the fight. I was like, oh, shit, they're playing Enter Sandman.
This is the only thing that actually beats the final fight in the original Roadhouse, because the original Roadhouse has them, the Jimmy.
Right. And, the Jimmy fight is actually
But that's not the actual climax of the movie.
The whole town comes.
Yeah.
And
the actual like shooting of Ben Gazzara is pretty.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge thing. Whereas this one goes pretty big. And I actually thought the end of this movie kind of made this a little bit more redeemable. It's not comparing to Roadhouse at all. But at least by the end, I went, okay, I had some fun.
Had a good crescendo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big Dick is going to cover for him. You know, he tells him to leave.
That's so strange.
His name is Big Dick. He's like, they call me Big Dick.
Well, what I'm talking about is that whole him being like, get out of here, Dalton. I'll cover you. And it was just like, what?
I wanted to kill you this whole time, thank you.
The whole time you were trying to get him to leave. And now he's like, I'll cover for you because you're with my daughter on the reef for one date. She vouches for... I also didn't understand. So he leaves the money with Charlie and her father. But where the fuck? I thought he put the money in a boat and just like sent it off to nowhere. I don't know how he got the money back. Also, how's that guy supposed to spend all that cash? You can't put that in a bank account. That's all illegal fucking. He's going to launder it. He just left him with a bigger problem. That's all he did. He's like, thanks, Dalton. How am I going to launder this fucking
cash? Just go to Home Depot and buy supplies.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah.
I thought Connor, I was actually impressed with how big he looked. Now, he's shorter than Jake, but I was like, oh my gosh, he kind of looks fucking huge. He looks kind of like he could kick a lot of people's asses.
Yeah, he does look huge.
He's big.
Yeah.
He did a lot of steroids for this, for sure.
Jesus.
But that's not even close to how.
But I mean, Gyllenhaal did some work too, getting his body to look like that. I was like, "Fuck, dude, this guy's."
But he said that he did it completely clean, though.
No,
there was a point where I had to laugh because during the final fight, they're fighting. Connor's got his shirt off.
Yeah,
Gyllenhaal takes a second, and Connor lets him take his own shirt off. And Ruggs said this a long time ago, and I'll never forget. He's like, You know it's serious in these old action movies when the shirts come off.
Yeah, you know, it's about to go down. See,
that's good attention to detail. That's why I feel like they did a good job at trying to make it like one of the late 80s, 90s movies in a way.
I think Lyman does like the original Roadhouse, and his heart was probably in a good place to do it. I just think it's an impossible movie now to make. Like, you can't, that movie is such a unicorn that I just don't think you could ever do something like that.
So yeah, what it doesn't have, there's, like we mentioned, no Wade Garrett. There's no boobies.
No boobies, female. Which is huge.
Yeah, which was a big thing. There's no throat rip.
No throat rip.
Which was an amazing thing.
No Swayze.
No Swayze. No Be Nice.
No, fuck you. You know, I fuck guys like you in prison.
I fuck guys like you in prison. And apparently I learned this.
No Sam Elliott either.
Wade Garrett, yeah. Earlier this year in February, the original screenwriter for the 1989 version, R. Lance Hill, sued MGM and Amazon, claiming copyright infringement and also accusing the studio of using AI-generated voices of the actors to complete the project during the strike of last year. He was trying to not get the film released, but clearly it didn't work. I don't know if there was AI voice. Maybe that's what the Be Nice was.
The CG, I will say some of the fight scenes do look video gamey.
Well, it is that like first person point of view with the wide aspect ratio kind of thing. I kind of like
some
of
that, but the way they're kind of when the punches hit.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look good, but sometimes they do like their head snaps back. Yeah.
Oh, they do the speed ramp thing, which is like all trendy now, and it's kind of annoying. It's being overused. I did like after the dynamite explosion, that whole how it went white.
You want to know what's missing in this movie? Yeah. Roundhouse kicks.
Oh my god, he didn't do any roundhouse kicks. But he's a MMA guy. They don't do they do roundhouse?
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, no, that's missing. Yeah, I did like the white in the when the bomb goes off, and it's like you kind of feel how they're feeling.
Yeah, the sound goes out, and you see the smoke, and it's all disorienting, and they're still fighting. Like, that was fun. Some of the shit was shot. I mean, he made an exciting, fun film that was definitely too long, also, which is probably why you felt bored. It could have been trimmed a little bit. So, let me ask you this. We watched The Beekeeper. That came out. It made like $152 million. If this came out theatrically, how do you think it would have done?
I don't know.
That's a tough call. I think there was an unusual amount of hype for this movie, I thought. So I think it would have done all right.
Yeah.
You said how much did The Beekeeper make?
It internationally, $152.
Okay.
I think this thing could have made $100, $150 million, maybe.
I probably would have enjoyed this more in the theater. I'll say that.
I would have went to see this in the theater with a crowd. It is a fun, like, you know, turn off your brain, have a good time.
I think it was theater worthy.
You said it, you think it was?
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than fucking Madame Web, and that was
theater, God.
Right? It's way better than Madame Web.
No, this isn't horrible. Right. It is still stupid.
Yeah. But in the right way.
But it's not as stupid, which actually makes it worse.
The fact that you have to compare it to the Roadhouse, that's what really is the... thing.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of comparing, here's the big question. Yeah. And we got to figure out the parameters for this. But the question is, who wins in a fight between 1989 Patrick Swayze Dalton and 2024 Jake Gyllenhaal Dalton? Now,
realistically, or
that's
who do we want
thing.
To win?
who do you think realistically movie fight? But also, when does this happen? I think you got to take 1989 Swayze in his shape. And Jake Gyllenhaal, it's a different body type and time.
I mean,
realistically, it would be Gyllenhaal probably.
Right. I was going to say it's 1989 Swayze is probably 160 pounds.
Yes. Soaking wet. Yes.
Yeah.
But and
Gyllenhaal probably is about probably at least 200 pounds in this.
Yeah.
Movie.
But 89 Dalton will go straight for the throat right away.
That's true.
And Gyllenhaal would not see that coming.
Right. I guess they do the throat thing their own way with him punching the guy in the throat.
Yeah, that's a good point. He did do the throat punch. Ruggs, what do you think? Who'd win in a fight?
I don't know, but the cooler person is I'd be rooting for Patrick Swayze.
I'd absolutely be rooting for Patrick Swayze. He has the better hair.
I don't think he would win, but like I think I'd be rooting for him to win. But
actually, going back to the throat punch, they also, because when he kicks, or when he, in 89, when he rips out his throat, he leaves him in the water.
Yes.
And in this one, he also punches him
and then he dies in the pool. Yeah. Right. See, there's a lot of interesting little parallels.
They're trying to do things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't compare.
I mean, I still think they did a good job of reimagining their own version to the point where I wouldn't mind seeing another one of this Dalton going to another city and helping out clean up another bar. Like, you can make a couple of these.
Here's another thing to point out, and this rewatchables pointed this out, but I think you guys will agree. Part of the charm of the 89 film and just a lot of films from that era is, even though that movie didn't do great in the theaters, it was on TV.
Yeah.
And you if it was on TV, you were limited in what you could watch.
Yeah.
So you had to watch it. And it just grew into this cult thing. This movie is released in the streaming era.
Yeah.
Where you watch it once.
Yeah.
And you're probably never going to watch
it. And you move on.
Because you're not forced to watch it. So it's never going to get this, like, cult following. It's impossible for that.
It's
kind
a
of
different
stuff.
Time. The first one did great on VHS too. Like once right. It came on VHS, it was fucking huge.
But no one's gonna buy this movie, the physical copy of this movie, no. And throw it on.
It doesn't even exist. I don't even think you can get a physical copy. But you're right. If these Amazon streaming things, like they'll get the front,
anything streaming,
anything.
Like that.
You get the front page for a week, and then there's 400 other things that have come out, and it's over. So
you're not forced. You're not going to be. You're not forced to watch it again.
Oh, some other lines I did love when the boat chase when Dalton Knox comes to get him after the explosion, and then Dalton gets on the boat and they're fighting, and Knox goes, "Our own little octagon," and he's like, "Who taught you shapes?" And then just throws him off the boat. It's so stupid. There's just stupid lines. He does a boat to boat jump. I
don't know. I feel like that those one-liners.
Yeah.
Like they're in every movie now. Yeah. They're in like every Marvel movie, every kind of movie. There's always, so it's like, I don't even know if you could even say that's a feather in your cap anymore.
I did enjoy that Conor McGregor's character is almost like the Terminator.
Yeah. You can't stop this.
They keep,
he doesn't park his car. He just runs it into something. Yeah, and
it was like a driver's ed car, which I was like, what the fuck? He's drinking coconut juice. And then,
and then to get more coconuts, he rams his car into a tree.
That's what I thought, too, because you see them drop. I was like, oh, he needs some more coconuts.
He gets launched into another boat and still finds a way to grab the string while it's going probably 40 miles an hour and pull himself up.
He swims to the bridge, climbs out, steals a car, drives through the thing. You can't stop me. He is like the Terminator. He's fucking T-1000.
He's almost in a different movie.
Yeah, a little bit. He almost steals the movie, but he's just the...
Well, his performance is pretty polarizing. If you look on Letterboxd, some people really like it and some people just absolutely hate it.
I saw that. But Gyllenhaal, I think Gyllenhaal did a really fun job. I really liked watching him in this.
I think here's the thing about Gyllenhaal real quick, because he's living up to Swayze. I think he did all right. The problem is there's nothing. I just don't see any way that anyone hangs their hat, like really quotes him or does anything from this movie.
No, there isn't really anything quotable.
I mean, there's some funny lines, but again, no one's going to go back and be like, no one's going to dress up as Jake Gyllenhaal's Dalton for Christmas.
No, what was he even wearing? Just a Hawaiian shirt?
A lot of like Hawaiian shirts and jeans.
And so he killed the guy in the ring was like his friend, and he just lost his temper and killed him.
Yeah, I guess he was fighting his friend in a UFC title fight and
Jesus
got dark and killed him.
The slap, he slaps him in the way in. All that was at UFC 298 or something, filmed in front of live UFC. I love the slap fight and I don't know.
I mean, there were a couple, I will say this, there were a couple fight scenes where I went, ooh. Yeah. Anytime I go, ooh, in a fight scene, that means it's good.
Yeah.
The part where Conor McGregor, they're fighting in the water, and then Conor McGregor is about to run over the head of the dude.
Oh, yeah.
And then he pushes the other guy, the bad guy's head. Yeah. That was good. And then all the stabbing at the end, I thought was pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was wild.
But,
Ellie sees him, and she's like, oh, okay, fucking killer. All right, let's rate it, rank it, Anthony, first. Go first.
Oh, rank it between the two. I mean, it's close.
It's not. Yeah.
I think inevitably, because with the other movie, it's going to sound like I'm really sour on this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sour on it. It's just not. It just doesn't compare to the first one. But if you just rank it as its own thing, it's probably like a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It's a serviceable.
Yeah.
Action movie. You know, it's It's better than all those like Netflix movies other than Extraction. It's better than all those weird Netflix movies like with like Charlize Theron or Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, which is why I thought...
Old Guard. Or it's better than the fucking Stallone superhero movie in my opinion.
Oh, that was really bad. That was really bad.
But it's just now, it's no Roadhouse. It's not 1989 Roadhouse.
I think it would have done okay in the theater.
Because so 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. Okay, Ruggs, what are you going to give it?
6.5.
Okay.
I think there's fun to be had, and they have some fun fight scenes, and Conor McGregor is interesting to watch. He's also terrible at the same time, but that's to make it funny. But it's, yeah, it doesn't hold the candle to Swayze's magnum opus.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What'd you give it? Five, six?
Six and a half.
Six and a half. Look, I was pleasantly surprised. I was entertained. I had fun. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. And I knew there's no way it's going to hold up to the original. But I did kind of enjoy
because
their take on a different, it's a different Dalton.
The OG is like a 10 out of 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The OG, yeah. Yeah, that's gold.
That movie's utterly rewatchable. It's great paced. It's ridiculous. It's so, the end is so crazy that everybody just shoots fucking Ben Gazzara. And he doesn't die after the first shotgun. He takes like 3 or 4 just standing there until.
I mean, just the lines and then the concept and. You know, I mean, and a blind dude behind the cage.
That's the other thing. They had a band behind Chicken Wire, but they had different bands featured. You had the Jeff Healey band who he was friends with Dalton. So you had that going. And that guy is actually amazing guitar player, blind guitar player. The music, I did like the Sublime cover they did in this one. And some of the music was fun, but Jeff Healey.
I did enjoy Conor McGregor just tearing open the cage for no reason.
He sticks his head.
Yeah, stick his head in there just to like look at them. There.
He's like, I hate this song. And just he's yelling every line. So fun callbacks to kind of the original, but it's its own thing. Whatever. It's a fun time to put on and you're going to forget and you're going to move on. So I don't know. 7 out of 10. Let's find out what our listeners thought. I got a lot of comments and news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It stinks. It stinks.
That's like Conor McGregor fart.
Loud. Loud.
And obnoxious.
And Irish. Scottish. Whatever the fuck.
He's Irish.
Irish. Jesse Rodriguez says, considering Roadhouse 89 is my favorite movie ever, I had zero hopes for this one. It was okay and had some fun parts, but overall, 6 out of 10, maybe 5.5. Jake did what he could with the material and did a good job in this role. Just have to remember, this is a different Dalton. Had some charm, but not even close to the OG. Also, what the fuck? No fucking throat rip, no tits, and most likely zero cocaine for when they wrote this movie. Yes, it definitely needed more cocaine usage in the making.
Absolutely.
Nudity was in the rating, but what the fuck? I didn't want to see McGregor's ass the entire movie. Enjoyed the music, though. I could write a ton more, but I need to pass out. First take for you. And then he says, also, worst use of be nice.
Yeah, they wasted that.
At the very end, while he's in the middle of the last fight. And then he mentions the only super Easter egg is the girl referencing the books with the saloon that had two X's. Oh, yeah, she gives him a book with a saloon with two X's. And somebody else pointed out, I think it was Brian Goff points out later, the store next to the bookstore was called the Double Deuce. I don't know.
I didn't even notice that.
I didn't know what it was, if it was a laundromat or something, but it was called the Double Deuce. He's like, beyond that, I was really hoping for some actors from the original. I know Jeff Healey, the blind guitarist, has passed. And you can bring back Sam Elliott. Would have been fun to see some of the OG bouncers, even if in different roles. Keith David would have been great one to bring back. Remember Keith David is in the first for like a second as a bartender?
He is.
What did they say in the rewatchables? Did he have a bigger role?
He had a bigger role, and then afterward they filmed all the stuff, and then the director talked to him after. I was like, hey, man, sorry, but we got to cut a lot of
stuff. Dude, he got Ernie Hudson like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He fucking got Ernie Hudson. So Keith David that would have been fun to have him as a cameo. But anyways.
Kelly Lynch?
Kelly, what's she doing? What's she doing like these days? Robbie Spliff Dog Maze just says, dude, somebody please get Conor McGregor the fuck out of here. This is coming.
Brian Goff says, I love the overly friendly goon. Are those your bikes outside? Oh, yeah, right out there. Mine's the red one on the left.
I did laugh at that.
Mo is hilarious. And then after Dalton kicks their asses, he brings them to the hospital in that little car. Oh, he says, I believe the establishment attached to the bookstore was called the Double Deuce because he showed up there and then was told to go to the Roadhouse. Nice fake out. Scott Swingorum says, just finished watching it a little bit ago. As a fan of the original, I fully endorse this remake. It literally felt like they did what they set out to do. The action, the story, the cheese, full on display. Bravo to Jake Gyllenhaal and every one of his abs. He kills them with kindness attitude and then actually kills them. It was perfectly done. I still hate Conor McGregor. I feel like a real actor would have been better in that part, but I get it. Yeah, it's a stunt cast, right? It's a little bit of a stunt casting.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense. Okay, here's the one. Here's the big one.
Oh, my God.
John Belotti Jr. 8 out of 10 for me.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Very.
Wow, this movie was made in America. Wow, I can't believe it.
It's not made by Toho. Very funny movie with great modern fight choreography. I love how Dalton goes full John Wick by the end. All the characters are over the top hilarious, but there was definitely less characterization in this one over the OG. Still, it was the over the top insanity in a different way. It's Belotti endorsed. Surprising.
Hey,
I'm with him.
That means something.
I could see how he would enjoy. I kind of enjoy it like that. Andy Hun from Mostly Superheroes podcast says Swayze would be proud. Everything you could expect out of a remake of this gem that takes place in a much more visually appealing setting than Missouri. I could have done without McGregor, but I get why they hired him.
Oh, I forgot that they kept also referencing how this was a Western.
Oh, yes. She does say,
which is what,
like,
the original was and this one.
Yeah.
But they're very much more like, again, they're trying to acknowledge
Charlie, the girl literally is like, this is like a murder mystery Western.
Right.
And he's looking about like the boat drops and stuff. I do agree with changing the setting. I like the Florida Keys setting for what it's nicer to look at. And it makes sense. Jamie Robinson, Mr. Throwback Thursday from the Mr. Throwback Thursday podcast says, I went in with zero expectations and I fucking loved it.
I fucking loved it.
Conor McGregor may have the greatest swagger in his walk, but the dude can act to save himself. So everybody is on the same page regarding Conor McGregor.
So it sounds like overall, though, people weren't angry about it, which is, I think, the kind of the tone, even though we were a little bit negative.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thinks it sucks. It's just, people like it a little more than we do, but it's serviceable. It's just not the OG.
It's serviceable. It's not the OG, and it's not offensive to the OG, right? You always have the OG. They had fun with it. But you're right. It's totally all over the place. It doesn't know when to be the joke or in on the joke or to play it straight.
I feel like there's a lot of fun to be had. You can enjoy it. You can take it for what it is. But I have a little bit of invested in Roadhouse.
Sure.
I have a little bit of skin in the game for Roadhouse. So, it was my dark horse winner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was our Cinderella story.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to be as gracious as some of these guys, but like I totally see their enjoyment.
The first one is more rewatchable than this one. That movie you could throw on whenever and just have a blast with it.
Yeah, it's a forever movie. Yeah.
All right, let's finish up with some what are we watching, Anthony?
Yes.
I know you were in Vegas. You watch this. You watch anything else?
I did catch Invincible.
Oh.
The second
episode. Six.
Six, yes. Yeah. I did catch that.
Okay,
that was fun.
Spoiler alerts. Yes, that was another crazy fucking episode. The show continues to be nuts.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. They kind of get out of some shitty situations. You get Seth Rogen's character.
Alan the Alien, yeah.
And then you're doing the whole being a superhero is like ruining my personal life thing, which is kind of cliche, but it's necessary. So, yeah, it's good.
That conversation was amazing because in my head the whole time, I love how they were cutting back and forth and telling each other, their friends, what they need to say to each other. But I was like, look, if I was Mark, like, it's not fair to have a girlfriend that's on Earth and you're this fucking superhero who could be sent anywhere, right? He feels bad. She feels bad.
Just get whores.
Yeah, you're a fucking, you can fly to any planet. Look, your dad did it. What's the problem? And there again, but there's parts in this show, the whole thing, Ruggs, you watch this, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing with Rex getting shot in the head and he's not dead and this blood just spurted. There are parts of this show. There are times when I know it's animated, but it makes me uncomfortable how fucking graphic and gory it gets. And these are just 2D drawings. But I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, this,
I will agree. The when he's walking around with blood spurting on his head, I'm like, oh my God, this is hard.
Even when he's
I like that he's hitting the guy with his fucking bloody stump.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I was like, that's gotta hurt. What's happening? They viscerally kill these people. When he smashed in the last episode, and he smashed the two duplicates together, and you just see their fucking insides and their organ, and their, I was like, oh fuck me.
It's good stuff.
It's so good. It's so graphic. Yeah, so there's a funeral, a brother, the mom's like, there's almost too many things going on because at the end, you're like, what about that dude with the big brain thing? And then they show him in the closing credits scene getting a coat and then walking through universes or something. Remember that guy?
He's plotting. He's plotting against Invincible.
So there's like so many things going on. There's relationships. He's got a little brother, the Cecil.
Baby, the babysitter.
There's Donald, who knows he's a cyborg. Yeah.
And then the dude's babysitter. Boyfriend is also a cyborg, right?
Oh, wait. Which one?
The Invincible's
that guy, yes.
College roommate. The boyfriend. Didn't they bring him back? And I think he's a robot, too.
I forgot who even that guy was. So I think he must be a robot like Donald, and because he didn't remember anything. But there, yeah, and then trying to pick a babysitter, that was interesting, where she's like, look, I work for you. Cecil did send me, but I work for you. Because you need a very specific person to watch that kid. Yeah, so still fucking great show. Ruggs, anybody catch X-Men 97?
I watched the first two.
I heard it's good. I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty fucking good, dude. I felt like I was a kid Saturday morning watching.
Yeah,
fucking
it did take you back.
Holy shit! The animation is a lot nicer. The original, I watched like the first episode again. Animation's a little rough. It's a little choppy, but it was whatever year it was, 94 when it started. This one,
it was always a little choppy, yeah. But that's not why people watched
right.
I think they watched it more for the story. Yeah. The story was very compelling.
And then like the last season, they used a different place and it was like really bad animation. But this one, the designs are great. The voice cast, the animation, it's funny. It's I thought it was really good. The whole Magneto storyline and she gives birth and blah, blah, blah. I think Anthony, you might like it. You should watch it.
I intend to try to catch up on it.
But so far, two episodes, pretty good. Pretty good. Ruggs, what else? What'd you watch?
Nothing.
Really?
Wow. I'm surprised. Yeah, dang it. Because Imran's got 75 things on here.
Well, remember that show, Physical 100 on Netflix? Yep. Season 2, the first half is released. And they're going to release the second half tomorrow, this week. Oh, shit. So again, it's really good. I love it.
Is it all the same stunts?
It's in Korea.
It's in Korea.
Okay.
Some of it is similar, and some of them are new stunts. But they do the same thing. They introduce 100 people, and you got everything from athletes, CrossFitters, a dude from the FBI is in this one. Reality stars, YouTubers, fucking a ballerina. There's a male ballerina in this. And remember. The first season, how they cut a whole bunch of people where they had the grid and you just had to hang for as long as you can. And this one, they do a pre-quest and they put everyone into this room. And in this room are 100 manual treadmills. And everybody's got to get on a treadmill. And they're like, what the fuck is this going to be? And you're like, is this going to be for stamina? No, it's for distance. So they got to run for 10 minutes, manual treadmill. Mm-hmm. And the top 50 who have gone the farthest stay in. They eliminate 50 from that quest. They're not cut. They just get them out of there. And then round two is 7 minutes of running. 40 more people cut. And then the third round, I think, is like 3 minutes. And the winner of that one gets an advantage.
Oh, yeah, I feel like that's super biased towards those long distance running people.
Because there's like sumo wrestlers and big dudes in there. Right. And they're like, one of them was like, I can't even figure out how to make this thing go. He's in the back. And there's long distance runners. But it's really interesting, the strategy. And I was like, fuck, I would be out in 3 minutes. I'd just be done. But that's like, do you go all out for 10 minutes or do you pace yourself? And then in the last 2 minutes, you just fucking haul ass to make up for the distance. It's fantastic. So that's the first one. Then they do the one-on-one death match again, kind of like in the first one where that you have to have the ball at the end of 3 minutes. Three different arenas, and then there's one with a maze and stacking concrete into bins and balancing, blah blah blah. It's fucking great. I love this show.
I'm the one that put you on it.
I know. You should definitely.
Now you're singing its praises.
You learn about all these celebrities, and like you always just like, what would my strategy be in this fucking thing? But it's pretty good. Okay, I'll just go through real quick a couple things because I did watch a lot. I watched that
Jesus
movie
Christ.
Blackberry on Hulu. It's very good.
What's that about?
It's about the it's about the rise of and the creation of the BlackBerry phone.
Oh, it's about a BlackBerry. Okay.
Oh, phone.
Yes. From starts gotcha. In 1996 up to like the mid 2000s, up to where iPhone really the Steve Jobs announces the iPhone. It's very good. I love these product biopics. The whole thing is shot very cool. It's shot like kind of like a documentary. Like you're always looking through blinds, or you're like around the corner, or you're looking through a doorway, or you're across the street. The whole movie is shot like that. So it gives it a very natural feel. And the cast is great. The fucking acting's great. The story's great. Did you ever have a BlackBerry, anybody?
No.
I was never a BlackBerry guy.
Yeah, I wasn't either. My sister had one. She worked in the government, and they had them for a long time because they were a little more secure. But, yeah, I never had the BlackBerry. It wasn't until the iPhone. But, yeah, it just shows you some of the clever marketing they did to make it look like if you want to be elite and powerful, you need to have a BlackBerry. And they ruled the market for a long time until the iPhone came out and just fucking killed them. Halo Season 2 finished. Rugs, have you watched any of this?
No.
It's all right. I watched the finale. It's okay.
I need to watch it.
It's better than the first season, but overall the show, it's like, it's an all right fucking sci-fi.
It's just a sci-fi show.
Some of it's confusing. There's like every show, there's storylines that I just don't give a fuck about. And I'm like, why are you showing me this? I don't care. I finished the Extraordinary Season 2, which is that British comedy about the girl without superhero powers in a world where everybody has superhero powers. It's fucking great. So much heart. It's really funny.
You really like this show.
It's good. It's very good. I think I liked the first season better, but the second season was solid. And then finally, just before we started, I had to check out the fucking Three Body Problem. Have you guys heard about this one?
Did you watch it all or just one episode?
Just watch the first episode.
What is that?
Three Body Problem is a show by Benioff and Weiss.
It's about alien contact.
And it's based on this book. It's about physicists and particle accelerators and an anomaly that essentially breaks science and nobody knows what's going on. And then physicists at these particle accelerators around the world are committing suicide because they're all seeing this crazy countdown in front of them and this energy, and they kill themselves. And then the fucking whole stars blink in and out at the end. I'm not really sure what the show's about. It's really heady. You got Wong is in it, but it's about physicists. And they're trying to contact, is it aliens or like different parts of time? It might be aliens. I don't know. I just watched the first episode. It's weird. It kind of hooked me in.
Weird.
It's weird. It's a very heady sci-fi, but that's all I got from the first one. Oh, and there's flashbacks to like 1960s communist China, where it's one of the characters, and they're working on a similar thing, which it kind of reminds me of Monarch, the way it's set up. It's like there's a 60s timeline going, and then there's a modern day thing happening, which is interesting. But yeah, it's very twisty and ambiguous and kind of, it's all right. I think I'll check out another episode.
It needs more Godzilla in it.
Probably does. And I'll tell you, okay, we'll finish up what are we watching by telling you what the nation's watching, and that would be Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. A lot of people went to see this. We have some early reactions.
Oh,
But
is it out?
It came out last weekend. We decided and said, because Anthony was going to Vegas, that we were just going to watch Roadhouse, right?
Yep.
But I think we may have made the right choice. Here's why. First of all, we reviewed the original. Fantastic. Nothing's going to beat that. Just like fucking Roadhouse. Currently on Rotten Tomatoes, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, 44% tomato meter, 5.2 out of 10, 84% audience score. It opens to $45 million domestically. It's only made $61 million. Now, all of the last three Ghostbusters movie, Afterlife and the 2016 one, they all opened about the same, $40 to $45 million, which is, it's not good for this one because the last one was during pandemic and it also opened to like $44 million. So this one didn't do a lot better. Here's what the nation thinks. Rick Martinez writes, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire left such a bad taste in my mouth that I came home and watched Barbie, a movie I had no intention of ever seeing. Jamie Robinson says it was fine. Not good, not awful, just fine. I could have slept through it and not missed anything, but whatever. Joe Henry says it wasn't that bad. It just felt like a corporatized safe film, like The Force Awakens of Ghostbusters, which is how you, Ruggs, described that last movie, Afterlife.
Yeah, how are they both the same thing?
Again, this is just like Roadhouse, because you know why? Because that original movie, well, it was PG, but it's like, it's not meant for kids. And I think this one, they're trying to actively bring in the families and the kids, so it's going to be fucking sanitized. But that's the fucking edgiest PG movie I've seen in the first one. Jesus.
And it's got a blowjob from a ghost.
It's got a blowjob. It's got sexy Dana Barrett saying things. So,
are you the key master?
I am the gatekeeper. So it's great. So I don't know when we will get around to watching this, as there's a bunch of things
we'll figure it out
coming up.
If there's a free weekend and it's still out, we'll go and check it out.
Okay, fair enough. There isn't a free weekend next week. Why? What's out? Godzilla X Kong.
That's right. You know we're reviewing that shit.
We go from the Frozen Empire to the new Empire. A lot of movies with the Empire.
Right, let's do predictions. How bad is this movie going to be?
Well, here, okay. So
I think it's going to get reviewed pretty badly.
Here's the thing that leaves me concerned. It's projected to open 45 to 50 million opening weekend, similar to Ghostbusters. And the movie's out in a few days. There's no ratings or reviews out yet.
Yeah, that's never good.
That same thing happened with Ghostbusters.
Did you check your tickets in your theaters? Are they sold out?
I should check. I don't know.
No, I haven't checked. I know the theater I'm going to go to is not going to be sold out, so I haven't even checked. It's probably not going to be well reviewed. Here's the key. Do the fight scenes deliver or not? That's all it is. If they do, I'll be happy.
Do you think minus one is going to actually hurt this movie because people may be comparing it unfairly? Because it's a whole different thing.
Well, minus one wouldn't exist if these movies weren't doing so well. I think that it inspired, it convinced Japan to go CG. And kind of changed their ways about making Godzilla films. So, and not only that, they saw what was lacking in these movies and they brought whatever was lacking, that personal Japanese aesthetic. So I feel like minus one to compare it's not really fair.
Right.
It's like they're two different things.
It's not fair
at
all, but could you have the effect? We talked about a lot of people, this was like the first Godzilla movie. It got them to go see a Godzilla movie.
And minus then, one.
Yes, right? Don't you think?
For I think it got a lot of the
people with pubes, yes.
Yeah.
People without pubes, they're watching Kong versus Godzilla all day.
I think it got a lot of the people that were actually like are into movies to go see it.
Yeah.
I think it's a valid question. I just don't think very many people, anyone with a brain knows
these are two different.
These are two different fucking things.
That's the thing. Is that clear? Because now you're so overshadowed. It won an Oscar. It made all this money. But like you should clearly, you look at the trailers. You shouldn't be walking in expecting the same thing. It's a different fucking thing.
It's a Godzilla for a different audience.
I'm down for both of them. I love both versions.
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, I want to see what this looks like. There's so many different things going on. There's so much ridiculousness. Yeah, let's see it. I'm excited to watch it and review it.
All right, we will see it. We will have our review next week. It'll be instant reactions on Patreon. If you sign up, you can hear right out of our
sooner theater than you think
reactions. What we thought. That's it. Gonna be it, fellas. Ruggs, where can the people find you online?
Rug Boy Show on X. Come by, say hi, follow me.
Do it.
Look at my butthole. I really don't give a shit.
It's on X. Rug Boy's butthole is on X. Elon,
you'll find out.
Elon doesn't care. That's the thing. You could absolutely.
Yeah, you could just put porn in your thing. Yeah.
Elon will be like, more butthole, please. Anthony, where can the listener find you?
Well, I was going to watch Godzilla X Kong, and there's the NCAA tournament this weekend. Yeah. Illinois is in the Sweet 16, so I was going to watch that. But now that I know Rug Boy's butthole is on X.
That's it, all day.
I'm going to be checking out that man's brown eye for sure.
Slack, you ever seen a slack hole brown eye? Felty's brown eye.
My subscriptions are going to go up a lot.
Join his OnlyFans for exclusive content. Share the show, listener. Spread the geekery. Thank you for listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's a nerd.
We'll peep you next time.
Lame.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's really good.
Butthole is fun to say.
Thing, I offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it.
My balls are hot.
Whoa.
Jock and Nerd.